And this hour, our special guest is Lindsay Williams. We'll be talking about his work, the energy non-crisis, in lieu of going offshore now, drilling for oil and gas. So we'll be talking with Lindsay about all that when we come back on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll also take your phone calls this hour with him as well. Lindsay Williams has been an ordained Baptist minister for 28 years, served as chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Mr. Williams believes that whoever controls energy controls the economy. How right is that? And he's written The Energy Non-Crisis. Here he is on Coast to Coast this hour. Lindsay, good morning.
George Norrie, thank you for allowing me the privilege of being on Coast to Coast AM tonight.
Well, it's my pleasure too, Lindsay. On a very, I think, important topic, and you have, tell me your experience. This is interesting. An ordained Baptist minister, chaplain on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. Tell me about that.
Well, very unusual experience, only by the providence of God. I happened to be an aviation missionary in the state of Alaska at the time they built the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, America's huge oil field up on the Arctic Ocean. And I heard that 25,000 pipeliners were going to converge on the state to build that pipeline. First thing that came to my mind was, those men must need some spiritual guidance. I think that's probably what most any missionary would think. So I went to Alaska Pipeline Service Company, and I said, don't you need a chaplain on the pipeline? They allowed me to have the seven northern work camps, including the big Prudhoe Bay oil field. And about 6 months later, they came to me and said, chaplain, we can't believe what you're helping with in the camps. You're saving us thousands of dollars of counseling fees. They said, we'd like to make life a little easier up here for you. We never knew the value of a chaplain on a pipeline. They said, we'd like to offer you executive status. And I said, well, what does that mean? They said, go any place you'd like, say anything you'd wish. And they said, we would like to invite you to sit in on our board meetings in an advisory capacity in order to help the relationship between management and labor. George, for 3 years' time, I lived with the elite of the world, the people you hear about in the World Bank, in the IMF. It had to have been by the providence of God, because there's no other way that a little insignificant, unknown missionary flying around out in the bush of Alaska could have literally lived with, sat across the dinner table from the people that you hear about. And it changed my life, because if someone had asked me before I went to the pipeline, Lindsay, do you believe that there's a group of people who control the world? I would have laughed at them. But after 3 years of literally living with these people, if someone had said, is there a group of people who tell the president what to do, dictate to Congress what bills to pass, and tell the Arabs on any given day what they're going to give them for a barrel of oil, I would have said, not only do I believe it, but I lived with them and heard them talk about it. Now, George, I want to say as emphatically as I possibly can, as a man who has been a minister of the gospel for over 40 years now, I'd like to say emphatically, there positively is a group of people on the face of the earth who control the world.
I believe that. I believe that. We've always suspected it, Lindsay, having guests like you on who back that up convinces us even more that something is going on. Now, when you sat in on some of these meetings as an advisor, what did you hear these elitists, if I can call them that, what did you hear them say?
I heard them talking about control. The name of the game is control, and it could really all be summed up in that one word. I heard them talking about how they control currencies, how they manipulate oil, how they tell Congress, how they play both sides. I asked one day, I said, why is it that you give so much money to both the Democrat and the Republican Party? He said, because that way we control either one, no matter which one gets in. And, George, it was one big points of game with them. It wasn't a matter of money. It really surprising, because some of those people had enough money that they could have spent written a check for $1 million a day for the rest of their life and never spent their fortunes. Jeez. It was a matter of control of people and nations and currencies.
It's a game for them, isn't it, in some respects?
It positively is a game. And now we've come down to that big game today. And I am amazed when I heard President Obama say, I'm going to allow offshore drilling across, around the East Coast and across Florida. I was dumbfounded, because when he was when he was candidating for the presidency, he said, "I positively, under no circumstances, will allow this to happen. And George, this tells me only one thing about Mr. Obama. He does not make his own decisions. He's told what to do. And he did this, I'm fully persuaded, merely because he was ordered to do so."
Why do they back down when they're ordered to do so? Why don't they just simply say, "Wait a minute, I'm the president. I made a campaign pledge. We're not going to do this"?
Well, John F. Kennedy, president of the United States of America many years ago, bucked these people. The thing he wanted to do was get rid of the Federal Reserve, He was just about to announce how he was going to do it. And I'm quite sure that the congressmen up today are very aware of the fact of what happened to John F. Kennedy.
Well, those kinds of threats, if they occur and still occur, got to be pretty frightening for a lot of people. In this particular case, so they're gonna drill on the various coasts offshore. Is that going to create an incredible boon for us with oil? I mean, we talk about a shortage. I don't believe there is a shortage. I happen to subscribe to the abiotic oil theory, Lindsay. I think this planet makes it like crazy. That's another story all by itself. But I don't think there's a shortage. I think it's all made up.
Well, George, you're right. And this is not going to help us in the short term at all. For them to begin drilling now, you're talking about 5 to 7 years down the line before there's any production of crude oil from those wells. And this is way after Mr. Obama will be in office, because I've been told he positively won't make it in next term. Of course, that's another story within itself. But let's go to your theory. You are exactly right, George. I don't know where you definitely have done your homework. Crude oil is not fossil fuel. I used to sit and listen to these elite talk, and whenever they're talking privately, they tell the facts. They tell the truth as they are. But yet, whenever they're dictating to the public what they want the media to tell you, they talk about peak oil. Peak oil is a total misnomer. Oil is not a fossil fuel. Russia, a number of years ago, drilled what they call Kola SG-3 wells and went down to 40,230 feet, found massive amounts of crude oil, and they're going to have to rewrite the textbooks on oil, because oil is being made down in the earth by some chemical process that they still don't know what's happened, and that oil is seeping up into the oil fields and is replenishing many of them. Oil fields are actually replenishing, not diminishing, and the United States must, oh my goodness, this is where I come down to why we've been so deceived. The United States must remain dependent on foreign oil for a reason. That is the reason that they won't allow us to produce from our own oil fields. The reason is we have approximately $13 trillion debt. The interest on that debt must be paid. It's paid by the Treasury issuing T-bills. Other countries in the world and super wealthy people buy those T-bills because they have been the reserve currency of the world for years. And the only way they can buy it is when we buy oil from them, they turn around and take some of that currency and buy our T-bills. And if those T-bills did not pay the interest on the national debt by foreigners buying it, the dollar would have already long since been collapsed. I mean, this whole thing is such a game played with the masses of humanity.
Senator Hugh Chance of Colorado writes the foreword to your book, The Energy Non-Crisis. What did he find out when he went up to Alaska?
I invited him up with permission of the oil companies because he's a fine Christian gentleman. And when he got there, he was shown everything. Everything he asked for, they told him. I was amazed how much they did say to him. And the day he left, he said to me, he said, "Chaplain Williams, I have trouble believing almost what I'm hearing and seeing here this week," because he said, "I was sitting in the state of Colorado when the men from Washington, D.C. came to brief us as to why there's a gasoline shortage and energy shortage back in those days." And he said, "Chaplain, I have come to realize that there is no shortage. that nearly everything I was told in those federal briefings by the men from Washington, D.C., was the exact opposite of what the truth is. He said, I was lied to intentionally, and he writes that and signs his name to it on the forward of my book, The Energy Non-Crisis.
What does the government not want us to know about Gull Island up there in Alaska?
They don't want us to know that on the north slope of Alaska, there's enough crude oil to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years. But, George, let's come down to what has just been found here recently.
Okay.
One of them is the Bakken Oil Reserve. It is the largest domestic oil discovery since Alaska's Prudhoe Bay. It's on the North and South Dakota and Montana borders. And the Energy Information Administration estimates 503 billion barrels. Even if 10% of this oil is recovered at $107 a barrel, we're looking at a resource worth more than $5.3 trillion. We could pay off half of the national debt with just what we have on our own soil. This Bakken Oil Reserve is 8 times as large as Saudi Arabia, 18 times as large as Iraq. It is 21 times as much oil as Kuwait, 22 times as much oil as Iran, 500 times as much oil as Yemen, and we're sitting on it. Then we could go, and Fox News reported this, by the way. It was on Wednesday, July the 23rd, 2008, and they said in the north of the Arctic Circle, they have estimated 90 billion barrels of technically recoverable oil. Now, you'll find this right on Fox News if you want to go back to that date. And 1,670 trillion cubic feet of technically recoverable natural gas. We are sitting on this. Know it's there. There is no such thing as a shortage. The only shortage is honesty in Washington, D.C., because they must keep us dependent on foreign oil in order to pay off the interest on the national debt, or the American dollar would collapse.
Jeez, that makes sense. That's scary.
Oh, it is startling. And you see, the reason I am so privileged to be on Coast to Coast tonight is because over the past 35 years since the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline was built, I have kept in touch with some of what I call the elitists, people that know everything that's going on behind closed doors. I was their chaplain, more than likely the only chaplain that some of these people would ever know in their lifetime. And I gained an element of respect with them for the past 35 years. They have told me things, and every time they would say it, I would come out and tell the American people, this is what the elite have planned for the next 6 months, for the next year. Here's what's going to happen. And as a result, these things that they're going to do, I can tell you everything that is going to happen in the economy, with oil, with Iran. I can even tell you the date that they're going to start war with Iran. I've already been given it. They've told me exactly what's going to happen in Afghanistan, Yemen, and Pakistan.
Well, give us that Iranian date. I want to go on record with this one.
Yes, please do. In fact, let me give you just brief background, then I'll give you the date. I want everybody to get a piece of paper and pencil. I want you to write this down, and I want you to put it beside your calendar. When you see it happen, you're going to say Lindsey Williams was a prophet, and Joyce Norrie had him on his show that night, and I'm going to say to you, I am not a prophet. I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy who puts on his britches like you do every morning. But by the providence of God, I had an opportunity to know these people personally years ago, kept in touch with them now. They tell me these things. One of them is 87 years of age. He knows he's facing the graveyard. He's not in good health. He called me only a few days ago, and he said, Chaplain Williams, I'm too old to care. He said, please tell him everything. And he went on to tell me every single thing that's going to take place in the economy in the next 12 months' time. I come down now to the subject of war, and here's what he said. Now, I know we have the sabers are rattling over there. And everybody is saying, oh, we just got to get in war with Iran. Well, they said this also 2 years ago. And at the time, I was on the phone with this gentleman. And I said, when are you going to have war with Iran? He said, Chaplain, you have nothing to worry about. And we had our warships over there. Our airplanes were ready to go. The Army, the Navy, everybody. And this gentleman said, we are not going to have war with Iran for at least 2 years. That was about a year and a half ago. And I came back. I came out over radio stations all across America, and I said, no war with Iran. You got nothing to worry about. Well, just the other day, I asked him again. I said, it's heating up over there in the Middle East. I said, what's going to happen? He said, Chaplain, we do not want war with Iran for at least 1 year to a year and a half. Now, he said the only way that war will take place with Iran and in the Middle East if it's Israel starts it. But he said, we don't want it right now. We're not ready for it yet.
But so we, in terms of a date, if it happens.
Well, he said a year to a year and a half before they want it. But here's the thing, they have it planned. He told me what's going to happen. He told me how it would spread. And they have all, every bit of this has been decided behind closed doors. They know exactly what's going to take place. I was told 6 months before Dubai World said we're not going to pay the $80 billion worth of debt that we have.
Right.
We can't pay it. We're going to not meet our responsibilities. I was told 6 months ahead of time it was going to happen. I went on radio shows across America and said it. People said, you're crazy. It can't happen. You may remember that 2 years ago, approximately, oil was $147 a barrel.
I sure
and
do.
One of these gentlemen called me on the phone one day, and he said, Chaplain, oil's $147 a barrel today. He said, it's going to $50 a barrel. I said, no, it can't happen. I said, this would devastate OPEC oil-producing countries of the world. I said, this would be catastrophic. He said, Chaplain, that's the reason for it all. And it did. George, I dared to risk my reputation because this was really sticking my neck out. Everybody on Wall Street was saying oil's going to continue to go up. And I said, I came out over radio stations all over the nation, and I said, oil is going to $50 a barrel within 2 months. I was laughed at. Talk show hosts laughed at me. And I wondered myself if I wasn't crazy for saying such a thing. Exactly, almost to the day, 2 months later, it went to $34 a barrel, went down below $50 where he told me it was going, and gasoline went to $1.50 a gallon at the gas pump.
Yeah.
And I told it all across America 3 months before it happened, and when it took place, it's quite interesting. One gentleman called me up after it happened, and he said, Chaplain, I want to thank you. He said, I'm an oil speculator, and he said, I deal with the futures, and he said, I want to thank you for making me $200,000. I said, what do you mean? He said, I dared to take you at your word, and instead of doing what everybody else was doing and betting on the futures that it was going up, I bet on the futures that it was going down to $50 a barrel. He said, I should have bet on 34. And he said, you made me $200,000. I want to thank you.
And I bet it didn't cost him much to get in either, did it?
No, it didn't cost him much to get in because he was betting on a downturn. Now, basically, in a nutshell, everything that is going to take place. I was told months in advance about the health care bill. I was even told what was in it. These congressmen said they never read it. Isn't it amazing that they could have voted on something that they knew they never read it? They knew it was career suicide come November of this year to vote on it. Who wrote the bill in the first place? The elitists did. And yet they voted on it, knowing what it was going to do to them. And it had to take place. I was told in advance what was going to be in it before it did. It was a New World Order's method of doing what they're doing today. And yet they voted on this bill. Who told them to do it? They were told they had to. They had no choice. Mrs. Pelosi made it very plain. You've got to do this.
Wow. Lindsay, we're going to take this break.
They have to.
And we'll be right back with you in a moment. I want to talk more about this, where you think the price of gasoline is headed, and we'll take phone calls too. Okay, the Skype line is open, George 97313, and we'll be back with your phone calls in just a moment with Lindsay Williams. And also, don't forget our next program, George Ure, Cliff High join us, the WebBot folks, as they talk about their predictions for the years to come. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Where do you see the price of gasoline going in the future, Lindsay?
George, I was given recently a schedule of events in chronological order of over the next 2 years. In fact, the gentleman said to me, the same 87-year-old gentleman, he said, "Chaplain, we have a two-year timeline." And he said, "If you want to know where we are in accomplishing what we want to accomplish in the New World Order over the next 2 years," he said, and here's his exact statement. This is a sign if you want to take it. He said, "Watch crude oil prices and you will know the progression of the elite." And at the time, it was just a few days ago. In fact, oil at the time was between crude oil between $70 and $80 a barrel. And I asked him, I said, "Where is the price of gasoline going at the gas pump?" I said, "You told me it was going to $50 a barrel on crude oil." And he just laughed and he said sarcastically, he said, "Chaplain, the price of crude oil is not $80 a barrel." Well, I had just watched the market report, and yeah, I knew it was. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "We are giving the OPEC oil-producing countries of the world $50 a barrel in the purchasing power of the American dollar." He said, "Now, whether the world likes it or not," he said, "the dollar is still the pricing for crude oil." Now, he said, "They tried to set up a basket of currencies and no longer use the dollar." But he said they haven't accomplished it yet. And he said, "I don't think that," he said, "they're not going to." And he said, "Watch the dollar and you'll know." Now, in proportion to the purchasing power and the loss of that purchasing power of the dollar over the next 12 months, you will see crude oil prices appear to go up. But keep in mind that they are only giving the OPEC oil producing countries what they want to have, what they want them to have in relation to the value of the dollar at the time he told me that it would be $50 a barrel. So really, here's what's going to happen. I was told just the other day that you will lose between 30 and 50% of the purchasing power of your dollar, of the value of your dollar in the next 12 months. They already have it planned. They know how they're going to do it. They know exactly what they're going to do. That means then that the gasoline is not going up at the gas pump, but you'll be paying more. Why? Because your dollar buys less. It's not the price of the gasoline. He says it's the price of the value of the dollar. So you may, if they're able to accomplish what they want to and devalue the dollar by 50% in the next 12 months, you very well could be paying 50% more at the gas pump for your gasoline.
My gosh. My gosh. So we'll have to monitor that. Let's go to Wes east of the Rockies. We'll get a question from Wes. Go ahead, Wes.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
I had a question, maybe some comments. I delivered a paper here in New Bern area, and I talked to a guy at one of the gas stations. He's from over in Kuwait, Iraq area.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask him, the reason he explained to me why we were in Iraq was because Iraq was trying to take over Kuwait because of the oil situation in Kuwait. He said that Kuwait called us, the United States, and offered us a lot of oil to come help them fight them off. And I was curious if that was the case. And in another aspect of it, and with the war that they're wanting to pull out of there and come out of Iraq, could that be why we're wanting to drill off here so we would have more oil?
Because well, what's your take, Lindsay? Go ahead.
Yeah, Iraq was an oil war. It had nothing whatsoever to do with weapons of mass destruction. We were in there because it's the second largest oil field in the world. And what I have been told as to who is making the money off of that would devastate you if you knew. One of our, well, I won't say it over the air. But, and also, why are we going into Afghanistan now? Remember, our president, before he became president, he said, "I'll bring the troops home." He's done quite to the opposite. He accepted the Nobel Peace Prize. Now he turns around and sends troops into Afghanistan. And there's a reason why we're in there. And there again, it has to do with the big bankers. The opium, 87% of the world's opium comes out of Afghanistan. There's one of the biggest pipelines in the world across Afghanistan. And here we are over there doing what he said he wouldn't do before because he's told what to do.
Interesting. Next up, we go to John, San Jose, California. Hi, John. Go ahead. Good morning.
Oh, hello. Good evening, Mr. Williams and George. It's an honor to talk to you guys.
Thanks.
Mr. Williams, I have a question. I've listened to you on several different shows, including Alex Jones, and you had discussed how the dollar is going to deflate 50%. And I was hoping that you could explain that process again, exactly how that's going to happen, by how the, you know, it still costs, you know, $80 to produce a barrel of oil that they're only getting paid $50 for. You know, if you could go through that again, I'd really appreciate it. And quickly, if you could, you know, before you go off the show, if you could enumerate all the new things that you found out from your friend.
Yes. In fact, I was told 2 years ago that the price of crude oil was going from $147 a barrel to $50 a barrel. It actually went to $34 a barrel. But they've been able to do exactly what they said. And he told me that it would stay approximately $50 a barrel for a year to a year and a half. Well, now it's gone back up between $70 and $80 a barrel. And when I was talking with this gentleman just the other day, I said, it's gone back up. He said, no, Chaplain, it has not gone back up. I said, what do you mean? He said, the value of the dollar, the purchasing power of the dollar, as of 6 months ago, we're still giving them $50 of purchasing power related to the true value of the dollar. Now, the dollar has deteriorated in value. Therefore, for instance, Saudi Arabia, they must have $80 a barrel in order to maintain their infrastructure. If they don't, that's all of their obligations, what they do within their country, arms, everything else that they've got. If they get anything less than $80 a barrel, they're actually losing money because they're going in debt. Now, if they're getting $50 a barrel, then it will bring to pass exactly what I was told 2 years ago when he said it's going to $50 a barrel. I said, why are you doing this? Are you ready? He said to me, Chaplain, we are doing this. Now, some folks may be prone to laugh, but you just saw it happen in Dubai. He said, Chaplain, we're doing this in order to bankrupt the OPEC oil-producing countries of the world who have obligations that they must have more than $50 a barrel in order to maintain their infrastructure. And over Thanksgiving holidays, Dubai said, we are defaulting on $30 billion worth of debt that we cannot pay. And mark my words, this is a prediction now based on what this gentleman has told me. You are going to see one oil-producing country after the world. Now, keep in mind, that not only includes the Middle East, that includes others, Mexico, Central America, Nigeria, and you will see one oil-producing country after the other default on their debt over the next year to a year and a half, because this was the purpose of taking the price to $50 a barrel.
Amazing stuff. It really is. Good research, by the way, Lindsay, on your part. How do people get a hold of you, or what's your website?
My website is prophecyclub.com, prophecyclub.com. And, George, I'm doing something tonight I've never done before on any radio show anywhere. And people who have listened to me on other shows, they won't recognize that this is the case. I have done 8 hours of DVDs. You watch them in your home. The first thing that this gentleman gave me a few months ago was everything that's going to happen on their timeline over the next 2 years. And just the other day, just days ago, he said, Chaplain, I'm too old to care. Tell him everything, and he told me everything that's going to take place in 2010. There are 6 DVDs, 8 hours of DVD viewing. I beg of you, my DVDs are not copywritten. Did you hear that? They are not copywritten. I want you to copy them, get this message out to everybody you possibly can. Now, operators will be standing by on tomorrow. My toll-free number is 888-799-6111, but I beg of you, go on the web tonight and see a definition of all of these on prophecyclub.com, and if you wish to order there, you can. We're taking both sets, putting them together. I feel such an urgency to get the message out to the people while we still have some time to do about it. I basically am taking both sets and giving them to you for what we normally offer them for one. I have to, because you've got to know what's going to happen to the dollar. Please, know the difference between Dubai City and Dubai World. And did you realize that Dubai World is one of the greatest promoters of derivatives on the face of the earth? Jeez. And this gentleman said to me the other day, he said, Chaplain, the average person has not the slightest idea that because of the default of Dubai World, And he went on and on to describe the difference. He said, because of the default of Dubai World, the derivative market is literally causing the banking system of the world to be on the precipice of collapse. You've got to see this in order to be able to understand it. You need to know about the health care bill. Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, you need to understand their timeline. And we've tried to include all of this in it, George.
All right, very good. San Antonio, Texas, we go east of the Rockies. Good morning, Gary. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I wanted to know what the interest rates are going to do. A lot of people aren't making much money on their treasuries or money market or anything like that because the interest rates are at zero just about. And what are they going to do in the next 12 months? Thank you.
All right.
You know, I love what George Norrie had on in the way of an advertisement in one of the commercials in between when he was talking about the bankers and the fact that every person that works for the bank today actually works for the elite. He didn't use the word elite. He was talking about the government. And I was told this 2 years ago. In fact, here were the statements that were given to me. This gentleman said to me, he said, Chaplain, within 2 years, you'll not recognize America. He made another statement. He said, after 2 years, you'll be so poor, you won't be able to do anything about it. He made another statement. He said, by 2012, the dollar will be dead. And I keep hearing him use this statement, 2 years. And he said, within 2 years, George, this is what's so uncanny. And people will have to admit that they heard me say this back about a year and a half ago. Within 2 years, nearly everyone will be working for the government. That's before General Motors was taken over, Chrysler was taken over. Oh, by the way, they're going to narrow it down to 9 banks. Everything else will become under the auspices of these 9. And every weekend, you see 8 or 10 banks taken over. You realize that every person working for General Motors and Chrysler and the banks works today for the elite through the Federal Reserve by way
That's
of the
right.
Treasury.
That's
and
right.
Every person who is a doctor or a dentist or in a hospital is now working for the elite.
And they won't stop, Lindsay.
Well, they've got to. And we're going to see to it that they do. We still have a Constitution. And I think that people are going to voice their voice message very loudly in November, and every single one of them, there's got to be a change made.
Well, as someone, though, who's brought into these meetings, do they look at you as a traitor now because you're going public with this information?
Some of them do and some of them don't. You may know that about 2 years ago, I was called and threatened by them. And they said, Chaplain, you've said too much. And at the time, I had to pull my website. And you notice that we have a new website now. In fact, your producer called beforehand and said, what's your website? They made me pull it because I was saying too much. But yet, there are some of the old-timers, two of them in particular, that I have their personal phone numbers, that still call me and tell me these things. And as a result, I'm able to... They're too old to care, as this gentleman said. I'm able to give out this information, and I consider, George, that the reason I was there was by the providence of God so that I could appear on a show like yours tonight and let the American people know everything that they can expect for the next 2 years' time according to what the elite are going to do. And they have never failed. Every time they've ever told me something, it's happened exactly like you say it, because they do control the world. They have the power to do these things.
Let's go to Gloria. She is in Longview, Washington, on the Skype line. Hey, Gloria, go ahead.
Hi. Nice to talk to you. Thank you.
You too.
I have two questions for your guest. Is there a hidden clause within the health bill concerning the taking of the mark of the beast? And the second question I have, is there going to be a war within the United States?
Like a civil war? All right, well, she hung up. So I'll let you answer the first one if you want. In the health bill, is there the mark of the beast hidden away in there, Lindsay?
The health bill, I was told before it ever even went to Congress what was in it. And on the very first page, there is chip implant. They do it by way of hypodermic and the vaccinations they'll give. And it's on the very first page of the health care bill. Whether this is the mark of the beast, I cannot say. I have no way of predicting that. This man has never said that to me. And I think her second question was
about civil unrest, I guess.
Civil unrest. I have not, this gentleman has not said anything to me about that. They don't deal with that subject. There's one thing that is scaring them to death, and that is the American public's waking up so rapidly, and it's because of shows just like yours, George.
Yeah.
And this is the one thing they don't want. In fact, they lengthened their timeline, their two-year timeline, in order to not devalue the dollar any more than 50% in the next 12 months because they don't want you to become too alarmed. But, George, I want to give you a word of encouragement. This gentleman said something to me here just recently. He said the last people to lose their freedom in America are going to be the talk show hosts. Now, I know this sounds strange, but there again, sometimes what these people say are very unusual. So take heart. You're going to be on the air as long as anybody. And the reason for it is because they have the control of the national media, and they know that the day that you lose your freedom as Coast to Coast AM is the day that they likewise are going to lose some of their freedoms on the national media, and you'll be one of the last people to be called on the carpet.
Interesting. Okay, let's go to Dayton, Ohio. Jimmy, it's your turn. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, good talking to you guys. Good show. I heard that the Bilderberger Group announced, I think last year, that they were going to have mandatory chipping of humans, the microchip implantment, by 2017. Is that true or not?
I do not know about the date. This gentleman has not told me that. I try to stick only with what I am told by them, and whenever I don't have an answer to something, I just merely say that date I do not know about. I do know that in the health care bill, there is a mandatory chip whenever they wish to see to it that it's used.
And we know they would love to do that, don't we, Lindsay?
Well, there's euthanasia there. There's gun control there. There's mandatory chips implant there. All of this is in the health bill, along with many other things that you've already found out about.
40 seconds to go. Give me some quick headlines of things we can expect in 2010.
You can expect in 2010 massive inflation. It will be gradual. They don't want you to jump out of the saddle. You can expect gasoline prices to go up. You can expect plenty of food on the grocery store shelves. In the New World Order, they are going to destroy the value of the dollar. That'll be the only problem you have with food and water. Again, I beg of you, please get my 6 DVDs. We're actually giving you 3 of them. Get them at Prophecy Club. You can go there tonight, PROPHECYCLUB.com, or tomorrow you can call our toll-free number, 888-799-6111. And please sleep well tonight, because you're not going to have war with Iran by end of morning. I've already been told that the saber will rattle. In fact, I asked him the other day, I said, what about Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen? He said, Chaplain, it's only saber rattling. Don't pay attention to
it. Well, and we've marked it down, Lindsay, so thank you so much. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.